meeting will follow the Lord's table part of the service today. We're dealing with Romans 1 here, verses 21 through 23 in your notes. We will see what we can do to wrap this up, get you some more notes Tuesday. Let's reread the verses and make a few observations. This is an indictment of the Gentile world in mass. Yes, we allow for exceptions, individual exceptions, but they are, compared to the mass, they're few and far between. Nothing's new under the sun. Negative volition everywhere in our world today. Yes, there will be some good changes coming up, but that's going to take, I think, the tribulation. I don't know what all we're going to have to go through between now and the rapture, but I am so convinced that we don't have any appreciable time left. It's too crazy on that one side of it, and all those passages that I've given you on the fig tree, it just all adds up. So the final run here is going to test all of us, and we need to realize that and pray accordingly. There's so much to be gained by hanging in there to the end. I can't emphasize that enough for each and every one of you. I can't do anything about people that won't attend, aren't here, left, whatever. I can't do anything. I can pray in general. And of course, if anybody can be brought to their senses, God will do it. But if people dig in their heels and do what they do, then I'm sad for that. Nothing I can do about that. We're just in this state. The good for us is close. Stick with the truth. Don't give up on it. Don't let anybody take your crown and upset you spiritually. Keep your good attitude. I know it's a test. It's a test for me. I mean, I've labored over a lot of people, and tried to help them spiritually, both here in the pulpit and otherwise. And That's all you can do. All right. In the section here dealing with the formulation of worldwide idolatry that was spread all over the earth, all this impressive worship of idols and temples and priesthoods and all this mess was a direct result of the repudiation of what they knew to be true. For even though they knew God, see, a pagan or an unbeliever out there, heathen, whatever you want to call them, among the Gentiles, they knew God. They looked at the creation and all that is involved in it. It is so vast and complex and interrelated and sophisticated, and all the factors involved in it, that the only thing at any time in history that makes any sense is that there was a God. The word God was in their vocabulary, by the way, that there was a God who's able to pull this off with no problem. And of course, the Bible gives us the origin of the species, and the origin of all things is laid out in the Bible, and there isn't anything that has been made that wasn't made by the second person of the Godhead. That's a part of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. Our Savior is also the creator of all these things. He brought them all into existence. Everything that's physical, animate, inanimate, all of it. And it all works real well together. And so to try to explain it away with something else is nonsensical, irrational. It doesn't follow good human logic. Good human logic says that for all that exists, all the living things, all the inanimate things, all of them, and how they all interrelate and depend on one another for their very existence. They all had to come full-blown at once. And not be this did this and this did that, or some ridiculous explosion occurred and produced this. Truly the verse, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Big time. And they're gonna have to eat it in the end. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. They did not do the basic thing, acknowledge that the Creator God did this, and I think I need to find out who He is and what He's all about. Because my very existence depends on Him and everything around me, and therefore I'm going to find Him, I'm going to seek Him, and I'm going to find Him. And a few did, but the masses, they did not. God did not hide Himself, but they became futile or vain in their speculations. We will just say they made this stuff up. Like a story. Those of us who looked at any of the mythology in school or anything know how elaborate these tales were. I mean, intricate detail on and on of all the interactions, on and on that these corrupt minds came up with. This is human depravity. You don't make stuff up. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, worshiping idols of a human being, naming it something of corruptible man. So they worship the corruptible, that which will die and decay, life forms. He just deals here with the worship of living things. In the categorization here of humans, birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures of all sorts. Because some species provides a service, they turn it into an object of worship. I think of the Egyptian dung beetle. That beetle had a job to do. And there was a lot of cows and a lot of manure to be piled up. Who told that beetle, hey, this is your calling? You know, God's sense of humor. And not just sense of humor, but also its practicality. These things, and so these things became, I don't know, in their thinking, some superstitious attachment to it. Because it provided a service. Instead of saying, like we do, God did that. God made that way. Whether it's cute, whether it's scary, whether it's ugly, whatever it is, regal, like an eagle. I'm not a poet. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. Okay. So that's what they did. God, as said earlier in the passage, He turned them over to this. God turns people over to depravity. That's called permissive will. The directive will for the human race was to look at this creation and draw the right conclusion. And every independent human being was required to do that. And so God turned them over to their corrupt ways. Let them run amok. Yes, He's dropping wrath on them continually through history. The study of human history is a lot of the study of a lot of human suffering and misery, as our world and our country is undergoing right now due to various factors, due to human corruption, greed, wanting to rule over and dominate people. Uh, It's a test. It's a test for sure. Okay, let's pick up with these. Again, the became futile, vain in their speculations, imaginations, refers to the formulation of false deities in point 16. In other words, they made this stuff up apart from any empirical evidence, any hard evidence that this is what you ought to be doing. They did this in violation of the logical principle of cause and effect. We've got it all. Look at it. And where are we going to go with this? They didn't do it by itself, given time, evolution. And the pagan idea that attributed this deity to this and this deity to that, a water deity, a fish, whatever they were doing. Once you go down that path, you had it. There's no end to it. Paul said that when he was on Mars Hill in Athens, that he observed all of these idols. Just everywhere. You can't even keep up with them. You're going to serve all of them? You're going to serve all this, bow down to this and this and this and this? You even have a altar there for the unknown God, somebody you might have left out. So technically everything could be worshipped. And that's where they went. They were turned over to this. So they are culpable. And as another observation that we've had for years is that God awareness occurs in everybody's life at a certain age, presumably a young age. The awareness of a God, a supreme being. And then there is a decision made, apart from the gospel, there is a decision made to find Him, seek Him, and know Him. And only God can read individuals in that regard. And those that do, they will be kept alive long enough to get a gospel hearing so they can be saved. That doesn't save you. That just sets you up. Positive volition of God consciousness for those who honor Him and maybe even thank Him in appreciation for the good things that you enjoy in life. A glass of wine, right man, right woman, a beautiful sunny day, all of it. You recognize there is a source for this. Now we as Christians, we are told to be thankful in all things and to give thanks constantly. And it's a real tonic, actually. It helps snap you out of things. Thank you, God, for this. Whatever it is, not just your food you're going to eat today, but everything, and have capacity for all these things, and thank Him. Thank you for that beautiful sunset. That was gorgeous. Or whatever it is, they were to thank God. That's because we are created in the image of God, meaning that we have volition, we have self-consciousness, self-awareness, and so forth. And the ability to use logical reasoning, or you couldn't even survive. Common sense. There was an article in the New York Times, which one guy calls the New York Slimes, that criticized critical thinking. That you ought to just defer to Google. What? These people have lost, they're depraved. They've gone down this path even in American culture until things, we can't call them boy and girl anymore. And there are schools, elite schools for rich kids. They're telling them they can't say this. When do people say, we've had enough of this? It's over. Again, this is another reason why this country is just living on borrowed time. It's going to be taken down just like we went over all of it. It is a prison of every unclean spirit and every kind of thing. And now it's just because He who restrains is no longer restrained. And this is just running rampant. Now we're up in our bombing of other countries and going off on all this stuff. I wrote reports of wanting to do cyber warfare against Russia, whether they did something or didn't. There's a trap Yahweh is setting for this country, because this country has raised itself up and challenged Him. Somebody sent me a thing. It was Jay Leno. You know, it's a night show guy, X. He started listing all the bad stuff that's going on in this country with regard to nature. Fires, hurricanes, ice storms, on and on. He said, this probably isn't a good time to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. But see, that's where it's going. That's where it's going. We can't talk God. We can't talk any of this. You never thought it would come to that. At least people do a nod to God. You know. So truth rejected leads to speculation. The corollary to engaging in vain speculations is that their foolish, stupid heart, singular for collective humanity, was darkened. We call this the blackout of the soul. Blackout of the soul. Darkness comes in. And as with physical darkness and you can't find your way around and you're stymied, so with spiritual darkness, you're just caught in it. As my pastor said back in the day, that one verb occurring only once there, the vacuum. It's like a vacuum. You switch off, quit the truth, and the darkness comes roaring in. You're completely a prey to the dark side. Now, obviously, people can come out of darkness, but that has to be their volition, being positive, and that's what the Roman Christians, that's what you and I did, various forms of darkness. When light is rejected, darkness enters the heart. Blackout of the soul. And these people out here, so many of them, they're completely under the blackout of the soul. They can't even think it anymore. It's so bad. They can't think even, a lot of them, in true American values that they once were. They're throwing them overboard. With this communist movement that has a lot of our politicians under its spell. But this is the New World Order, and this is what they're trying to do. They're desperate now. They're desperate. Because the dark side knows that they don't have very many years and they're going to be put in the slammer called hell. In verse 22, Paul says that professing to be wise, they became fools. 25, this is an acute and succinct analysis of the pretensions of pagan inventors of evil and their followers in all the nations. The Roman Christians paid attention. And in those other places, they paid attention. And they turned from their vain idols. A positive would be so glad not to have that over their head anymore. And have a simple, straightforward answer. Verse 23 advances the observation of pagan delusion by informing the reader that there was a deliberate exchange of truth for error. A deliberate change. They didn't just stumble on it. They went that direction, full throttle, and started inventing this stuff. This monstrosity was the product of their negative volition at God consciousness. And of course, the people that formulated these deities with all the storyline and what you need to do to please them, obviously they had people who thought this stuff up. And then the masses were brought under the spell of it. They deliberately exchanged the glory of God, what could be known about the divine essence of the incorruptible God, for that which is corruptible, that is perishable. They worship the perishable, a snake, a dung beetle, a bull, whatever it is, golden calf, fall down before an object that can't do anything for you. That's why idolatry is completely and totally forbidden in the Word of God. Classical idolatry, the worship of false deities. Mother Mary. All forms of idolatry are forbidden by the Word of God. That's classical idolatry. There's another type of idolatry, like monetary reversionism. Got to get rich. Got to make money. That's my God. That's what I follow. I have that. I'll have everything. Mentality. It's not going to do him any good in the day of his wrath. And it hasn't done any of these people any good when they die. Because you can't buy salvation. The incorruptible God is a reference to the divine attribute of immutability. All this evil going on in the earth doesn't change God. His essence and His person is not altered in the least. That the majority of human beings are running down this path does not change God. The truth remains the truth. Always remember that. So that you will stand in the truth no matter what you're asked to go through between now and our exit out of here. James 1:17. For every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. Somehow God's worked that and He drops it on us. Comes down from above where the throne room is. Coming down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. A shifting shadow is a result of the movement of the sun regarding an object on earth, and the shadow, if you observe it, it'll change very gradually as the sun changes in its movement. So there is no alteration within the divine essence. It's locked in from eternity past. It can't improve because it's perfect. They willingly exchanged the incorruptible for the corruptible. Or put another way, they gave up the divine attributes for a ridiculous image from the lower creation that can either talk, walk, do anything for you, but make a fool out of you by falling down in front of it. In Iran or Persia, there's a rock they all go kiss. Doesn't sound sanitary to me. And they have to throw some coins down. And the elite Ayatollahs scrape it all up. That's what my clothes salesman told me, because he lived in Iran. He said, they make all this money from these poor dummies that come in there and fall down before a rock. And probably in life, they're otherwise intelligent and industrious people. Don't let that confuse you, because these civilizations were advanced and they invented some nice stuff and did stuff. Yeah. That's because they're created in the image of God. How can we get running water in our house so we don't have to go out here with this bucket and pull it up 3 or 4 times a day? Let's figure that out. And make it work. Indoor plumbing. So God put man here to develop things, products, that you and I all enjoy. We're kind of spoiled. We got a washer and a dryer and a dishwasher and a oven and all of that good stuff. Thank God for it. Because He made men to be able to use their minds in the right way. The lifeless images made by human hands were worshipped and served as if they'd had any positive attributes. Finite creatures subject subject to physical death were the substituted for God's glory. God's glory is a word for his essence. The divine attributes, the ones we have. Is that one up here? That's probably in here. Essence of God. Let me see if I got it. Yeah, this one. This makes it simple for people. I mean, it doesn't tell you everything, obviously, but it does make it simple for people. This equilateral triangle, there's three members of the Godhead. You'd only get that by divine revelation. Somebody teaching you that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, essence of God. These are the divine attributes. The kiddos, I think, in prep school memorize those. They should. All those attributes work together. Okay? There's tense, not too hard to memorize. Now, there's other terms used of God in the Bible, his faithfulness. Well, that goes to his immutability and his veracity. Divine faithfulness. Images of perishable or corrupt man were set up in elaborate temples, along with a priesthood to bind the people in darkness. 36, not content with the worship of images of men and women, they even worship images of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures, which man is supposed to rule over. His mandate is to rule over the lower creation, responsibly, I might add. You don't just go in and destroy forests and act crazy and dump chemicals in a river because you got a plant over here producing something and throwing acid and stuff in the... No, you're a responsible custodian of the creation. Well, we're not always on that either. We've spread chemicals all over the place. But anyway. Isaiah 44. In conclusion, you shouldn't criticize other religions. Oh, really? Well, you won't like the Bible then. We are to expose evil in all of its forms. Let me see here. Oh, I got the wrong chapter. Sorry about that. Here's from the prophet Isaiah. Those who fashion a graven image are all of them futile. And their precious things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses failed to see or know so that they would be put to shame. Who has fashioned a god or cast an idol to no profit? Behold, all his companions will be put to shame. For the craftsmen themselves are mere men. Let them all assemble themselves. Let them stand up. Let them tremble. Let them together be put to shame. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, fashioning it with hammers and working it with his strong arm. He also gets hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and becomes weary. Another shapes wood. He extends a measuring line. He outlines it with red chalk. He works it with planes and outlines it with a compass and makes it like the form of a man, like the beauty of a man, so it may sit in a house. Surely he cuts cedars for himself and takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes a fire to bake bread. He also makes a god out of it and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls down before it. The very thing he burns, he now falls down before it because he made it look like something. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over this half he eats meat as he roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, aha, I'm warm. I've seen the fire. But the rest of it he makes into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. They do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot comprehend. No one recalls, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire, and I also have baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood. That pretty well does it in, doesn't it? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver himself nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Okay, I thought that's a pretty good one. That's kind of being the comedian there, isn't he? Idolatry in all its forms is forbidden in the Word of God, since no idol can do justice to the perfections of deity, and no inanimate object of any kind can do anything for anybody at any time. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May we be enlightened and encouraged in Christ's name. Amen.